Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and on to more of the glory of the Lord in us that shall be revealed in us all by the grace of God, because this is about the masterpiece of grace that we find in Ephesians. And I'm so thankful we find ourselves right here, don't we, brethren? We know who this is for. We know who this is about. And thank you, Jesus. Oh, the great love wherewith we are loved. Now, when we left off in that fifth chapter, we saw there, at the beginning of it especially, that there was a deeper meaning than on just the surface of the encouragement that was there. And it was precious encouragement on the surface, but the depth of it that we saw as it concluded, that it was about Christ and the church. This is about the mystery of the bride. And the Lord makes it very clear, very known, and it is very evident of what the Lord is mining here in those that believe. We saw the deeper meanings of abstaining from fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness. Sure, we want that in our natural physical lives. Sure, we ask the Lord to continue to help us. And I thank the Lord as I understand more and more about this precious walk of faith that we have. Brothers and sisters, this isn't about the perfecting of the flesh. That'll never happen. That cannot happen. It won't happen. That's why you're going to get a body like unto his own. That's why it says, and Paul says so clearly, he says, oh, I groan. I'm groaning. When I'm going to put off this corruptible and put on the incorruptible. So you're never going to make this incorruptible. It won't happen. That's not your excuse to fail. It's your thankfulness to God that you get it. That you don't need to be tricked. You don't need to be in this continual place of guilt. You need, as I am encouraged, and you need as well too, we need to live by power. We need to live by the Spirit's power, praise God. And in that Spirit's power, it's the anointing of that growth of grace in our lives. And what we know, even in our natural life, what changes us is love. Love changes us. The lack of love changes you too. And you know that. But that fervent love, and especially a first love, it causes you to be the person you could never be. You never even imagined. It causes you to do things not out of duty, but out of willingness. A thankfulness. It's a joy. And then your mind is so captivated with the love, all the things that still might be there, you don't even recognize they're there. You might not even have the time to be thinking of such trivial stuff. That's the changer. It's heart. It's that attitude. It's that joy. It's that love. It's that relationship. That's the growth. And we thank God for it. It's just, it's a tremendous thing. But we saw, as it was pointing out about the abstaining from fornication or uncleanliness and coveting, we saw that it was speaking of the faithful heart for the truth. It was speaking of on a level of faithful only to truly Paul's gospel, to the strong meat, to sound words, to remaining in the bridal message and remaining in first love. I mean, these are the saints that were sadly spoken to of one of the churches there in Revelation. That was the one thing that the Lord had against them. You left your first love. You divorced. And in order to be divorced, what did you have to be? Married. I'm not, and brothers and sisters, really, really understand this, because I think it is so important. You marry the Lord now. The wife has made herself ready. She's a wife. I'm not expecting my fiance. I'm expecting my bridegroom. When you read of and you study out, and we've done this many times, don't be confused. I know how people will just flippantly say stuff. Just like I was mentioning earlier, people will say, well, it really didn't mean that we live by the faith of the Son of God. We live by the faith in the Son of God. No, it says specifically, we live by the faith of the Son of God. And just like I'd heard people even, and I'm going to tell you, even sometimes in this place, yes, God help us, not to give our thoughts. And I mentioned that verse as well too. We don't grow up unto him in all things. We grow up into him in all things. And those that want to change those things in all, it's self-righteousness. That's exactly what it is. Oh, it couldn't mean that. It's not for that. I wouldn't do that because he's got to get all the glory. Get away from me, you pious one. This is what he died for us to have and to know and to lay hold of. This is about glorified together with him. This isn't about beholding his glory. This is about for us who believe to be glorified together with him, to be exalted to the same glory with him, to rule and to reign jointly with him. That's what mine is yours. And the only thing that'll keep you from it is your unbelief. And that unbelief, well, I'll tell you, you'll have no one else to blame but you. And I thank God. He lets us know this. Lord, help us to have an unction to truly go on and to not hesitate and to take that grace and to continue to be encouraged by grace. I want the blessing. I want the double portion. And I'm not waiting. Praise God, we're going in now. We're well able to take it. All of those things that we have heard and thank God over and over and over and been encouraged in, it's time now, above all, taking the shield of faith. Plant yourself down. Get that shield. And let me tell you something. I'll give you a little precursor. It's not a little round fighting shield. That shield is used one time in the Word of God, and we'll get to it. It's one of them big old rectangular ones. You didn't go flopping that thing all around. You sat it there, and you stood, and you stand, and you withstand. He's given you everything. He started this wonderful Ephesians. Ye are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. What are you lacking? What are you deficient? What hasn't been given to you? Nothing. You have it all. Now it's the embracing of it that has already apprehended you, that has fully given you this because of love, because of grace's divine choice. And now, praise God, the grace for grace that we give that back to him in the fullness and assurance of believing and thanking him. Lord, praise be to God. It's no longer my thoughts, it's your mind. It's no longer my feelings. It's your faith. And it is his faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are fully equipped. Fully, not lacking a thing. So I thank God that in that absolute, we move now into chapter 6. And now we get more of a meaning than is on the surface. There is a metaphor here, and the metaphor, as we see as we go into chapter 6, is another rank. We were just in the rank of the bride, the adults, the fully grown sons, and now we go into another rank, a second rank, the children. And the same encouragement is here, even in that. God's faithfulness, whatever we receive in the truth, walk in love. Walk in love. I thank God. Sister said, pray for this pastor. He has a heart for God. That's sweet. In what he may know and stay in, I thank the Lord. Walk in love in it. And that's what I would say. You still pray for people. You know there's more, but it's going to be that decision. Now, let's go ahead and read the first 9 verses of chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And notice that it says, to your masters. Isn't that something? A lot of times we think we want to be under somebody else or under this or whatever. The Lord said, let me tell you something. I put up whom I will, and he puts up whom he will for your life. You begin to buck against those things, I'll tell you, it'll never end well. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, there's the willing. There's the willingness. It's not the duty. There's the love. It's not the work. There's the grace. It's not the flesh. It's so beautiful. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So, in all of that, we do it from the heart with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So there again is such another game changer of life. Don't be a man pleaser. Just be thankful. That pleases God. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So, to begin with, as we start into this section, as I mentioned, we're into another rank here, these children. I want you to know this. No one starts in the bride of Christ. No child of God starts as an adult. Nope. We all begin as infants, and we all must grow up. Amen. And so what we have here is here's how you grow up. And it starts right there in verse 1, obeying the fathers in the Lord. Okay, let's turn on over to 1 Corinthians, and let's understand the deeper meaning of obeying and being in harmony with the fathers in the Lord. And we'll get to these precious mamas too here in just a second. But here's the fathers in the Lord. And that's, we understand in the Lord, there's neither male nor female that we're speaking of here truly. This is a depth of a meaning and of truth. So in 1 Corinthians, turn on over to chapter 4, and we'll begin reading from verse 14. This is Paul. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. There's a lot of instructors in the Lord. There's a lot of people that preach Jesus. It's wonderful. We thank God, however Christ is preached. But what it's saying here is there is a famine. There is so few that are the fathers in Christ. And in Christ Jesus, and it says, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. This again is Paul. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So he's just presented himself that he had begotten them in the gospel. So he is announcing himself as one of those fathers. And he's saying here again, you be ye followers of me. And he said this earlier in the word of God. He says, be followers of me as I also am of Christ Jesus. Right? Now look what he says after this. For this cause, meaning the cause of that you need a father in the truth, I have sent to you Timotheus. Now that's a young man. A very young man that he sent to him. All right? But he was a father in the truth. It had nothing to do with age. It had to do with maturity. And understanding that all that maturity didn't come from the man Paul, but was given to, it was the message that was given to the Apostle Paul, was that mystery that was revealed. This is so clear and so evident. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of what? My ways. He's my beloved son who has grown up in the truth under me, a father in Christ. Amen? This is real simple. If you really want to grow up, this is the kind of teaching and a pastor and a minister that you need, because you won't get it any other way. You could have tens of thousands, but you're not going to have this. You will not have this. This is why Paul is so specific. Be a follower of me. Me. Didn't mean, again, to idolize him. It was the message that was given to him. The grace, the same grace. Be partakers of my grace. That's what he said to the Philippians. You're partakers of my grace. And it's so wonderful that ye shall, and he shall bring into you remembrance of my ways. Isn't that glorious? Which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. He didn't size them up, did he? He preached that whole council in every church. Wherever he went, he preached the same thing. Wherever he went, he did not withhold. Praise be to God. This is it. And we see a deeper layer in here when we're speaking about children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. And these fathers that we have in the truth, these are the ones that the Lord has given the anointing of truth and love in Paul's gospel. These are the ones that are the ensamples to us to follow Paul as he followed Christ. The whole purpose of this wonderful journey that we have is to grow up. We're born of God, and he wants the mature sons. He wants the ones that are the huious sons that grow up into him in all things, into the measure and the stature and the fullness of him. And this is the teaching, and the only teaching there is, the only fathering that there is, the only ministering that there is, that will grow you up fully into what Paul is speaking of here. And that's the truth. And you can see it right there. You can try to wrestle with it. You can try to reason it. You can say, well, that's a very arrogant state. I'm just giving you the scriptures. And you can do with it what you want, but that scripture is not changing. And that word has a meaning, and that meaning is very clear. And I thank God that he makes his truth known to those that want to believe. Now, let's move over to the mothers in grace. And I love that. As you go through the word of God, you see these ones, like a Rebecca, like a Sarah and all. They represent grace. Amen? That was grace. That was grace's choice. It was going to come through grace. Amen? So we see, as we're talking about obeying parents, that we are so thankful too that we have these mothers of grace, and they're in the same spirit and truth. And it says to honor them, and the Lord says to highly esteem them as unto the Lord. And I was so grateful today to be able to witness about, yes, I'm talking of ones that are naturally females that have been in my life, that have encouraged and continue to encourage, that are truly, I'm surrounded by these mothers of grace. And I thank the Lord for you. And I'm so grateful to God. I'm surrounded because of God's grace by ones that are truly fathers in the truth. They minister, thank you, Jesus, to the depth of Paul's gospel. And there isn't anything else. It's the first love. And that's what causes us to be this. This is why Timothy was sent by Paul to help these ones to grow up in the truth, even though he was a very young man. And I don't even believe he was a father at this time or anything. Maybe it didn't even matter. But he was young. He wouldn't be perceived that way when you looked at him in his appearance. But I thank God it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with what was in the heart. How many times does the Lord hit us with that? Amen. Praise God. I think we'll get it someday. Amen. All right. But we have such a debt, in a way, that we owe to those who have stood in the gospel of first love and have not moved. That's such a beautiful thing. That have truly loved us with a perfect love. And you think about that. I mean, I'm thankful to God for my natural parents. I know that they love me. I mean, they love me beyond. And they showed it in everything they did. Everything they did. Well, that love caused me to want to basically to love them back by the things that they had afforded to my life to enjoy and to be responsible for. And I didn't want to cause my parents pain. I wanted to give them joy. I knew it would bring them joy. And what would bring them joy were the things that were profitable for me. I wanted to work hard in school. I wanted to work hard in life. I was thankful that the Lord, as a young age, none of us are perfect kids in any way, shape, or form. We wouldn't even go into the things I did wrong. But I thank God I did not want to hurt my parents. I loved them. How much more so our Father? You see what I'm saying? And then I thank God as the Lord has put these parents in a sense in my life that have given me such love and tenderness. I mean, I was testifying to the brother that I was eating with today. Two of the ones that were just so instrumental in my life that as a young person, there was Sister McGuire and there was Brother McLamb. And you talk about such encouragement and the truth. I'm as a little guy. And just the love and the more love and then even the more love that they brought. It molded and helped shape the man of God I am today. It's a debt I could never repay. I thank God for all of those things. I thank God. How could I ever repay any of these? And like I said, precious Brother Hill. And all of that wondrous truth and the love and all of these things that came forth. But brothers and sisters, I still know in all of those lives, it's not to magnify the person. It's the grace of God that was with them. And I thank God that we carry on in that same grace. Hallelujah. Now, the jewel I was thinking too, that I will be in their crown. I always remember Brother Austin, as he would say. He was my Sunday school teacher. That's Dwayne's daddy. And I was so privileged to become his pastor before the Lord took him home. And he'd look at me every Sunday as I'd come off for the altar here. And he'd hug me. He said, he'd look at me every Sunday. Oh, you're a jewel in my crown. I'll never forget it. Never. And I'll never forget it for eternity. And that's what God makes us to one another as we yield. I can testify to you, and I don't mean this syrupy. I wouldn't be the man of God I am today without you. And you wouldn't be the man and woman of God without me. And I thank the Lord for it. Beyond what I could ever express to Jesus. And that I'm growing into the knowledge of it and the appreciation of his jewels. The thankfulness to God of what he has assembled. The ordering, the cutting of the perfect stones that will never have to be cut upon again. They will fit perfectly in their place. In that city, praise God. Oh, and her glory and her light. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, even come, Lord Jesus. It is. It's marvelous, isn't it? But he does. The love of Christ has to constrain us. And I thank God we're in it in him. But I love as it says here, if you notice, it says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Get this. That word be well, if you look it up, it means to be finished. That you may be finished. That's why we adhere to these things. This is why, praise God, we yield. We yield to him. We yield to what he has ordered in our lives. We don't try to change and manipulate things. Don't do that. We'll get to that, God willing, later on tonight and how damaging that can be. But you take from the hand of the Lord. You don't tell him you don't want this or you don't want that. You don't do that with God. You tell him, thank you. Can I have another? And sometimes that's the way it's going to be. And we know that. We're living that right now. But it means to be well means to be finished and complete. And then, isn't that beautiful as it says, that thou mayest live long? That interprets as long live. And I was thinking, long live the kings. Long live the kings. Oh, praise God. You can take it for whatever you want. But what a song he can play in our hearts as he continues to minister the truth to us. Now, teachers of Paul's doctrine, as we go on here, they do not provoke their children to wrath. And brothers and sisters really know that. God set a watch before our mouth. God let out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. We can bring truth. Sure we can, and I understand that. And the truth is the truth. But let me tell you something. You want to bring it in love. Because without love, it's not going to work effectually. It will not. And matter of fact, I'll tell you what. It can work in a way that you didn't want it to work. And it's telling us right here, do not provoke to wrath. And it's speaking to fathers and to mothers, these ones that have been put in those places. And I'm talking about the places in the church, and I'm talking about you. I'm talking about with what you have, to whom much is given, how much is required? Much. And we're talking the much of God that is required. This is an awesome responsibility. And you know it's beyond you and it's beyond me. But it's not beyond him. And he can do it in us. And that's where, brothers and sisters, that humility, that vessel of mercy, and show mercy and be merciful, and the more merciful. If you really want to grow and grow up in the Lord, God help me, never leave the place of lowliness. You've heard me testify that many, many times. Don't ever leave the place. And if you've never gotten there, you better get there quick because you don't have time. Take it from the Lord. And I know he's put every one of us there. Every one of us. He divinely, in his faithfulness, he afflicts us. Divinely brings us to a place where, wow, I didn't realize I was that weak. I was that infirm. I was that selfish. Thought that highly of me. I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. God help us, family. Take the place of loneliness. How ones that know this truth can provoke. And it's not only our natural children, it's the spiritual children. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. And I do. I thank God. I thank God for my mom back there. And I've testified to this time and time again. I grew up under love. I grew up under the encouragement of grace. I did not grow up under condemnation. I did not grow up in a household, oh, you don't do that and you can't do this and do it. It wasn't that. And I thank the Lord. I know I came along at the end, and I know my brothers and sisters had little different experiences. I know that this parent has grown up too. Don't get me wrong. And I pray we grow as parents. And I pray that we are sincere as parents, that even go to our children when we make mistakes, you can tell them, you know what, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I'm still your dad. But I was wrong, and I want you to know I'm sorry about that, and I didn't mean to hurt you. That's what a man is. That's what a man of God is. Man of God doesn't just sit there stoic and act like nothing's ever been done wrong, and they never say they're sorry. That's a disgrace. That's a cold-hearted disgrace. And I know people like that. I have never heard them say they were sorry. I've never heard them say they're wrong. Don't be that person. Do not be that person. You better be quick to buckle and to say, Lord, I am sorry and I was wrong. I know he's forgiven me, but my goodness. Amen? You want to grow up and be useful in the Lord. This is the tenderness we need, saints. But I am so thankful for that. God's working in us, brothers and sisters, is always in lowliness and mercy. Jesus was drawn to the prostitute, the adulterer. Huh? That's who he went after. Who did he rebuke? The Pharisee. The ones that were condemning those. The ones that were throwing the stones at him. He was condemning them. Oh, but they were right there. They were reading the rules. This is how it works. Slither away, you snakes. Go on. You're not going to take anything of me. I want the one who knows who needs me. And he even said that, in a way, to his own disciples as he left them there to go to the date that he had that day with the woman at the well. That's the one. That's my girl. You guys can debate about yourselves who you think you should get together with and who you shouldn't be supping together with. That's my girl. Nobody wants her. She's so despicable. I mean, she's on her, what, fourth, fifth guy, and she's living with another. And he talked to her in a way and told her everything she'd ever done. And she did a lot of bad stuff, horrible things, despicable things, that no one would even go from the lowly Samaritans to the well with her. You get out there at the high noon of day, honey, because we ain't going with you. Huh? But he said it to her in a way where she went back to her family with a joy she never had. With a thankfulness to God to say, oh, there was a man that told me everything I did. And he loved me with a love I never knew, I never experienced. And I want you to have it too. And her whole household. It moved her whole household. Now, he could have told her all them things in a different way. And she could have taken that rope that was probably on that bucket or whatever to let it down in there or whatever, however they did it, and hung herself. The same thing. He could have said the same thing, but it's the way. And the way of Christ is love, it's mercy, it's grace. Now, once again, who did he rebuke? The Pharisee. The ones that judge, the ones that were critical. And all I can do is to say, oh Lord, don't ever let me get puffed up. Don't ever let me get vain in my imaginations of how great I am. It's all because anything we are is because Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. You want to grow up? Jesus loves you. Grow up into the knowledge of that. That's the reality again. That's what changes everything. That's what influences a life. And a lifestyle, every change of a life, is to know that they're loved. That's how these things work. That's how ones make that break. It's not criticism. When you know you are loved, you want to please that person. I want to please Jesus. I want to please him. And I know how I please him. I thank him. And I just thank him for his grace. And I want to know more about it. And I ask him in that. I said, Lord, I want to please you. I don't want to just sit here and go, okay, I got to study. I got to do this. That's not how it is. I just love you, Lord. I don't know where to begin sometimes. I don't know. And I tell you all the time, this is all spirit. There's nothing preconceived. I might have a few notes here. My boast is in the Lord. And I want to have complete confidence in him. Not just in this part, but in every part. Every part. I know nothing, but I know he knows everything. I have no strength, but I have a power that's far greater than anything that can stand against me. And I know whom he's called. Oh my. I'll leave it there. Okay, come on now. It's hard when he sweeps you off your feet time and time again, isn't it? Praise God. Now, brothers and sisters, condemning and judging in a life, and I've heard it many times. Oh, you got to dress this way. You can't listen to that music. Don't go see that movie. You can't do this. I kind of remind people, now wait a second here. I think there was a fellow named Joseph he put right in the heart of the evil. He didn't take him out of it. He didn't tell him to be part of it. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to know that it wasn't about the location. It was about the heart. That's what it was about. Where is your heart? That's right. And if your heart is trying to design your life of how you think you're going to live godly, your heart is about you and about your strength. I'm so thankful to God. I mean, we're in a city. This city ain't growing more godly. We're on an accelerated path to hell. And that's the truth. But it's so glorious. We're on an accelerated path in here. Praise God. Are you hearing today? I'm hearing right now. Do you hear the fluttering of the trumpet? I honestly do. I mean, when we have this kind of fellowship, don't you feel a flutter on your back? Are you not flying? And this morning, you couldn't almost get out of bed. And it's like, I don't even need to get out of bed. I'm so far away from that bed, it doesn't even matter. But see, this is what his truth does. And this is that quickening power. And I thank the Lord with you. And I do thank God for your liberties in Christ. Don't try to be like anybody else. Let the Lord encourage your life. My liberties are treasures that I have with him. But I'm talking about all of those things that are under the hand and the encouraging of God. But see, when we're harsh in placing children in fear, those that are under us in a fear, you will watch something happen. You'll watch them buck up. I've seen parents do it. And I'm talking about parents in the Lord that have just so nitpicked their kids with dress, with music, with this, with that. They've gone so far from the truth, it's a shame. You're not there to compromise in your house with your kids. That's not it. But let me tell you something. You got to let them live faith. They need to understand to make their own decisions. They have to live their life under the hand of God too. Amen. You're going to understand those things. I kept them from hurting themselves. I wasn't going to cut deals to how we were going to responsibly sin in the house. Don't get me wrong. But I'm so thankful what my mother encouraged me in the Lord. And it wasn't the do's and the don'ts. It was, honey, just fall in love with Jesus. And I fall in love with him, and he would tell me what he wanted me to be sharing with him. There were things that, yeah, I did leave my life, but it wasn't because I intentionally said, well, this has got to go and that's got to go. No, I thank God. I just didn't think about him anymore. You know? There's some things that I've told you and tell the Lord all the time. Oh, Lord, I could be a better Christian if you'd take that one out. Oh, if I take that one out, honey, you'd be puffed up. You believe that? I pray you do, because you'll never really get it without it. You'll never, ever, ever get it. You'll still think somehow, some way you arrived because you got yourself better. And all that does is keep you away from ever getting there. Well, you better be there because you don't have time to even get there. Now, we thank God for this, don't we? That it's not out of duty, it's out of love. You move on over to verses 5 and 6 of that 6th chapter. Now we get to obedience. Well, we learn that as well, and the encouragement that we have here in 5 and 6 is the key is the singleness of heart. And the singleness of heart, what that means is a sincere, simple, pure heart that is just sincere and simple and honest before the Lord. I like being honest before the Lord. I like telling him, I need even more of you in this. I can't get this done. I made another mess. Paul even hears me saying, tell myself, I'm just so stupid. I did it again. He comes in, would you quit telling yourself you're stupid? Oh, it's all right, honey. I just know. And it's not to get down on me. It's just to get more in Christ. Just to really understand, why would I sit there and compliment myself when I can't do a thing? I just want to admire him. I want him to cause my life to praise him more. The simplicity that our life is so beautiful because it's all by faith. It's all by believing him. Him. What he's already finished for us. What he's already done for us. What he's already given to us. What he's already afforded to us. And all it truly is the simplicity of saying, Lord, I believe that. You're in a trial. I believe you, God. You made the way of escape. Lord, I really messed up. The thing that I just got myself into wasn't just a mess. It would look very sinful. It was very wrong. It was terrible. And we know all things work together for them who are the called according to his purpose. Without it, I couldn't have it all working together. I got to have all of that. Now, if that doesn't stop me in my tracks, to say, just more, Lord, more of that grace. It's just what it is. And he will give you the more grace. Thank you, Lord. And he'll show you that he abides faithful. Amen. He abides faithful. You'll understand this is a life all about faith in his faithfulness and understanding you have no faithfulness, and you will really begin to bring a lot of joy out of the Lord. Isn't this contrary to what you've thought what Christianity was all about? I thank God this is what I've grown up into and grown up with and growing up more into. I didn't have to unlearn too much. I didn't. But I sure had to learn a lot, and there's a lot more to learn. And I don't want to get sidetracked. And this is same old enemies right there to defeat us at any time. What God puts over us, brothers and sisters, don't see it with an eye service because you don't like this one or that one or you want to be under another one. Don't do that. We trust God who he puts in place for our lives, don't we? And especially, as I'm telling you here, in the body of Christ. This is what this is about. I think about ones like Absalom. He thought he should be king, not his dad. Saul had that same problem. He thought he should remain king and not David. Joab, he thought the king didn't know what he was doing, and he knew better. And I can tell you about every one of those ones, it was all destruction. And it was. And I've seen ones like that, the characters that we can be. And sadly, I see them today. And I'll tell you what, stop. How about having a heart like a Jonathan? You see what I'm saying? You see what the Lord's trying to encourage here? A heart like a Jonathan. Jonathan, he would be heir to the throne, to be king, but he loved God's choice over about what he could have naturally and rightfully had as a man to take from his dad Saul to be the king of Israel. But he loved God's choice more. He wanted to preserve David's life. He wanted to help David because he knew he was God's choice. David was the arch enemy of his own natural dad. And his dad wanted to kill him. He didn't go along with his dad and say, well, I got to be honorable to my dad and I'm going to stay right with my dad. No. He took God's choice over his family. That's the heart we need. The heart that went into his dad and in a certain way said it just like this. Dad, this David's God's choice. It's evident. This is the one God is lifted up, the lowly, the nothing, the shepherd boy. But all that matters and all that matters about anything, this is what God has deemed. And this is for all of our lives, brothers and sisters. This is everything that we have and in every aspect of our lives. So once again, I appreciate the Lord really hitting in my heart with this. See everything unto him. And as I said not too long ago, and especially, this is geared towards ones that don't come to the meeting anymore or don't want to come to the meeting. Why did you come here in the first place? Those that have been in this meeting for years, you know this message is the same message. And I thank God, and it's the faithfulness of God. And I thank God that we go on growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this meeting is about one thing, and that is to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. Amen. And the insults still fly. Is that all you preach? And I can say this, yes, by the grace of God, yes, it is. That's it. That's it. So once again, as I will say it, and I'll say it boldly, because people need to awaken. Why did you ever come here? Why? It best be because of the love of the truth, or it never was. And we can say the same thing. Why would I leave it if it's the whole counsel of God? It's because I don't love the truth in the first love. And that's the truth. The Lord makes it evident. This is, you'll go after what you love. You'll give your ear to hear what your first love is. And the only excuse that you didn't give it to Paul's gospel is because you loved something that affected yourself more than you loved Christ Jesus, his bridegroom. And that's the truth. And God help any of us, because it's all by the grace of God. And it's but for the grace of God, we'd be all right there. But I thank the Lord in that. Now let's move to close this up tonight. Our walk is not for man's approval or for certificates or pats on the head. Notice the theme here. It's all is under the Lord, is under the Lord, is under the Lord. Is your life is under the Lord? Did he make a mistake on you and not the other one? Lord, you put me in this and. No. You better trust God. I better trust God. I've asked him a couple of times, are you sure? He smiles because he's patient. But I know he's sure because he doesn't make a mistake. And finally, as it says, God help the masters too in verse 9. Just like the fathers in faith, oh, the responsibility that we have, saints. I pray we see it. I believe our hearts have been touched by grace. We want to influence, not to magnify ourselves, but we want to influence and to encourage others to go on in the Lord. You don't encourage ones to go on in the Lord by fear and threatenings. You don't do that. You don't do that with to grow up someone. I speak again of my own household I grew up in. There was never fear in that household. It wasn't that at all. It was love. There was respect and honor. I got my spankings, you know, and I didn't want to get a spanking. But I honored my parents because I knew they loved me, and I loved them. It wasn't because I feared that I was going to be cracked in the head if I didn't do the right thing. And I know that some of us in our natural lives, that's how we grew up. And I'm sorry for that. But I still know Romans 8:28 has got you too. And I know without that sadness in your life, you wouldn't be here tonight listening to this. And that's the truth. We all have our shoes, and only those shoes are going to fit for the race winner. Don't be looking for another one. But the thing that we need to build one another up in is grace, mercy, forgiveness. Ye that are spiritual, restore. Amen? That's what motivates a heart. Love changes a life like nothing else can. Nurturing, edifying one another in the word of his grace. We want everyone to win. We're not a respecter of person in here, are we? I pray we're not. Anybody who walks through that door, whether it's their first time or if they haven't been here for 15, 20, 30 years, they better be met, tell you what, with the coat, the ring, the kiss, whatever it is. We got the feast awaiting here. It's a feast every time we come in here. Praise be to God. Come on in and let's eat strong meat together. That's what has been prepared. That's what we rejoice in. We don't say, oh, well, now you got to just get in line. There's no order in that. There's nothing there. My goodness, we fellowship with one praise and one faith and one body. Hallelujah. One spirit in one accord. Thanks be to God. That's the purpose. And I know it surprises ones that haven't been around that kind of a thing. And I thank God it does. Because that's the love of Christ. You want everyone to win just as much as yourself and even more. You get that love that Paul had. I'd even give my own life. You begin to get that because it's Christ in your life. And what you do is you take the more grace to win. And if I'll take the more grace to win, you know what will happen in your life? You'll run harder. You will. And as you take more grace, I'm going to run harder. Amen? And I'll tell you what. That's what the grace of God, not can do, That's what the grace of God will do. And I'm glad it's doing a mighty doing here. Praise his name. All right. Love being with you. And it's sure going to be love to be with you at the first trump sound. What do you think? Amen. In the arms of our bridegroom. Crowns, crowns, crowns. Hallelujah. Long live the kings. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.